Do any of you know the origins of Memorial Day? Do you? Do you know how it started? Jan? Exactly. It's a U.S. holiday in which we remember those who died at war, preserving this country's ideals. But it was founded amidst the destruction of post-Civil War. There was already a holiday in the North called Decoration Day, on which people would visit and decorate soldiers' graves. But in 1868, a group of Northern war veterans decreed that it ought to be a national holiday. Think about that. A group of Northern war vets decreed that it ought to be a national holiday. In doing so, they were making an effort toward reconciliation amongst veterans' families. The fact that this holiday has its root in the victors and their families reaching out in an effort of healing and reconciliation toward their enemies, I think is incredibly important. It's important because it tells us that this holiday is not a holiday of triumphalism. This isn't a holiday of might and glory. It's a celebration of our common humanity. It's a humble, heartfelt reminder that beyond war, what unites us, what holds us together, is so much very stronger than what divides us. In our gospel today, we hear the story of Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee who comes to Jesus in the dark of night. The author of the Gospel of John could have gotten a job in modern-day Hollywood, given how he employs overt symbolism. And so we know, since this story takes place at night, that Nicodemus is trying to hide something. He doesn't want his colleagues to see him talking to Jesus. So he comes in, all swagger, all bluster. "So, Rabbi, quite the signs you've been doing." Think of the least genuine politician you can. Okay, well, maybe not the least genuine, but the second, a really ingenuine politician. And that is the image we get of Nicodemus. Despite coming to learn about Jesus, despite taking a little risk amongst his cohort by reaching out to this no-name preacher who's been teaching that everyone has value in the eyes of God, not just the powerful, he is still intentionally misconstrues what Jesus says. Jesus says that we have to be born from above. More literally, that we need to be born from top to bottom. Think of when you've had something happen to you, a light bulb moment, a flash, and suddenly everything needs to be different. You understand your life in a whole new way. But Nicodemus asks, how can someone who's been born re-enter their mother's womb? Jesus is saying we need a whole new perspective. We need a 180-degree life shift. We need to be born from top to bottom all over again. And Nicodemus intentionally doesn't get it. Jesus is saying that we need to move from understanding our relationship with God as an external, rule-based experience toward a spirituality of mutuality and relationship and understanding the common good. For today's purposes, though, the lesson of this gospel that I would like us to hold on to is that intentional misunderstanding. The way that Nicodemus intentionally misconstrues Jesus' words in order to try to trip him up. Friends, I don't need to tell you that we live in a horribly divisive and polarized time. A quick look at many bumpers will tell you whether you share the same worldview with the driver or not. So much of what passes as news today is an attempt by someone with an agenda to either feather their own nest or trip up their opponent, or sometimes a combination of the two. And so, in the spirit of our gospel, in which Jesus continues to engage Nicodemus despite that intentional misunderstanding, and in the spirit of the original Memorial Day, a day to find comfort and reconciliation among people who believed very differently than you, but who knew the same devastating sacrifice, I propose that we spend a little time thinking and talking about that which holds us together. What are our common values? What are the inalienable, self-evident truths? I have worked up a very meager sheet that I've included in your bulletins. It's that the blue insert that is in your bulletins. A sheet with some famous quotes. I'll go ahead and read the page aloud, but as I am, I ask you to be thinking more about what you would add to this. What would you add? And then we'll take a little bit of time actually to talk about that. The first quote comes from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Then in Genesis we read, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Even before the United States got into the Second World War, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is quoted as saying, we must scrupulously guard the civil rights and civil liberties of all of our citizens, whatever their background. We must remember that any oppression, any injustice, any hatred is a wedge designed to attack our civilization. Paul wrote in the letter to the Romans, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In his Nobel Prize acceptance speech, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant. In the prophet Micah, we read, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Eleanor Roosevelt reminded us that no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Our gospel passage from today, that's actually should be cited as John 3:16 and 17, not 6 through 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And lastly, the indomitable Mark Twain. Patriotism is supporting your country all the time and your government when it deserves it. Let's take a moment to turn to the people around us and just have a brief conversation about what else could be on this list. What are the other truths that we know are absolutely central, both to, what are the truths that we hold in common? What are the things that are so central to who we are, that is truly what we are celebrating this Memorial Day? If you would rather not participate in the sharing, if you'd rather think and pray silently about this to yourself, the sign to your neighbors that that's what you're doing will be that your hands will be folded in your lap and your eyes will be closed. And hopefully then they won't bug you. So go ahead and take a chance to just turn to your neighbors and we'll talk for a bit about what else could be included. Friends, if you'd just wrap up, if one of you has a little something yet to say. There we are. Would any of your groups like to share? What are some of the truths, additional truths that you would add to this list? Does anyone? Jeff, we've got a microphone.
If we want children to become self-sufficient, we have to give them the opportunity to exhibit self-sufficiency and to learn from failure.
Yes. Others. John.
The things that we talked about were how to consider each person as an individual, no matter what their background is, where they grew up, where they came from, and all that. We talked about how, in exploring the differences that we've had, I know very often, like for me, it wasn't okay for me as a male to express feelings, particularly feelings of sadness and sorrow or discomfort. That somehow if I did it, I was less a person. We talked how if we can communicate to people that feelings are, they're neither good nor bad, they just are, that it would make conversations and the ability to get along with people a whole lot better. So just to kind of explore where the person that you're talking to is coming from and greeting and having them do the same for you.
The individual dignity of every single person. Absolutely. Absolutely. Others. Well, I heard lots of conversation, so I hope that it was meaningful to all of you. These ideals, really, they don't come to us fully formed. Our ideals are gifts from the tremendous men and women who passed them down to us through other tremendous men and women. It's the people who formed these ideals and those who shared them with us who have truly given them value and worth. It's the people who lived our gospel, lived our ideals, lived these self-evident truths who deserve our real thanks today. The passage that David read from Ephesians starts out by saying, "We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses." That cloud of aunts and uncles that John shared about in the children's time. On Memorial Day, I call to mind and give thanks for all of those who have gone before us. Not only those who have taught us right from wrong, but more importantly, those who have inspired us with who we are called to be. After the offertory today, all those who are able are invited to process with us out to the Memorial Garden for the conclusion of our service. We'll sing the Navy hymn as we walk out, and then in the Memorial Garden, when We are literally surrounded by some of the great cloud of witnesses from this church. I'll invite you to call out the names of some of the people who you are grateful for, the names of the people who taught and lived the self-evident truths that we hold so dear. Friends, despite the divisions of our time, there really still is more that unites us than divides us. And on this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for those things that we hold so dear, may we commit ourselves once more to being agents of that unity. Alleluia and amen. Holy One.